Well, because Lori gets is good at getting things started and telling stories herself and laughing. So that's good.
It kind of seats.
We may need to make room for Lori here.
Oh, no, there's room for Lori here.
The first class story.
Not now.
First class.
Yep. Lori is in the house.
Can you sit over here, Lori?
Oh, I can sit over here.
Lori is in the house.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Am I going to be in the way of everything? Or?
Mm-mm.
Whoa.
Stop.
Because,
oh, Barry, are you making a mess?
Water up there. I need
Barry, a Barry, Barry.
Second one thing.
Barry. Get it in it, Barry.
Oh, thank you.
At least it wasn't that.
I don't have dessert.
That's alright. I've got Kleenex here. Oh, yeah.
Everyone gets comfortable on my bed.
It's fine now. I have this.
Thank you.
Oh,
she refilled her
empty.
Hold on.
Now I feel.
Oh, it
deserts.
And do you want to do a little bitty test to see if you can hear them all the way over there on there?
Oh, I've already tested it.
Oh, I figured it might have.
Way ahead of the game there.
Right. Now we're all formal.
There.
Very hard to talk. Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Might as well get everyone comfortable for story time.
Yeah, thank you.
Everyone on the magic carpet for story time.
Well, Amanda, you made the list this morning.
Oh, I do have a list, don't I?
Yeah, we can brainstorm all over again.
I can just briefly run through them, and then you guys start where you want.
Just pick out one. Just keep us going with the different ones.
All right.
We forget.
Oh, why don't I start with the one about the burrow in the water? That's a good laugh.
The burrow in the water.
Right. Is a wonderful story. It is, because that was a trip with not just the family, but Grandpa and Grandma Small. Mm-hmm. And the two of them seemed to feed off of each other. And that was good fun, but the burrow, we went on a tour, I guess you'd call it, and we had to cross a river with these burrows, and all of us made it across and looked back, and there was Dad, who was taller than this burrow, sitting in the middle of the stream with his feet up because the burrow would not move. And we sat there laughing hilariously at him and taking pictures while this poor burrow had decided he had carried someone bigger than him as far as he was to go. And eventually the Mexican guide that was with us convinced this poor little burrow that he was not going to get home without taking this man with him and got him out of the river. But I can picture him sitting there, and he was big enough to straddle that burrow, and with his knees up his chin, trying to keep from getting wet in the middle of the river.
And what you should have done with that story is, you should have said, well, let me tell ya. And you could have strung out that story a little longer.
That's a little too short.
Well, sitting in one place makes me remember the one that you talked about where the skunk got under his chair.
Yes. Well, that's a great story.
I wasn't there for that, but who was? Well, I was.
Okay.
We went to Big Bend, and it came up a monsoon rainstorm. And we all had to run for cover. But unfortunately, Vern was sitting in a camping chair and a skunk took residence underneath him. And he couldn't move out of the rain because he thought the skunk would spray him because he was keeping the skunk dry. So we all stood in the camper door taking pictures and laughing while he got absolutely drenched to the skin keeping the skunk dry.
thought was real funny when you told this morning the flying flowers. Oh! I've never heard that one, but yeah.
You can tell the
That's
flying helped. Flowers.
Oh,
that was one of your, that was one of Vern's photographic, big photographic endeavors. In which, where were you? We were in Kauai.
Kauai.
Oh! Oh, and we were all in Kauai. Right. And so he was taking pictures of these wonderful big white flowers that were across the way, and he was so impressed with the white flowers. And then I'll just while he's clicking away, all of a sudden this white flower flock took off.
Away.
So we laughed. We always talk about his flying flowers.
Flying
we talk
flowers.
About his flying flowers in Kauai.
Well, and if you were looking for Uncle Vern and you weren't quite sure where he was, but you knew he was somewhere around the camper, he was probably outside cleaning windows.
Yes.
Because he always had to clean the windows numerous times
yes.
to make sure they were perfect.
To be spotless at all times. More often.
Oh, yes, I know it. And that's one thing I could always say. Well, now, Vern would clean the windows. Why can't you?
Yeah,
the boys, whenever they were going to go driving anywhere on a trip off or something, he always cleaned the windshield because they never kept their windshields clean. And that just drove him crazy. So one day, Barry and the girls were getting ready to go back to Arlington when we were up at camp in the North Cascades, and Barry didn't go, and he didn't go, and he was standing around. And I said, Barry, you need to get going. And he said, well, Dad hasn't cleaned my windshield yet. I can't go.
Oh, I'd go to pick him up at the airport, and I'd go driving in the pasture to mud hole just to get the whole truck muddy because it just drove him insane. And I'd show up at the airport with mud dripping off the truck just to see the look on his face.
You gave him great joy.
Oh,
because he
I
loved to clean
yep.
that mess up.
Yep.
And he would go to great length to tell about how terrible the mud and describe the mud in each spot on the car.
Oh, yeah.
And even when we were traveling with Wayne and Mary Ellen last summer, when we both had our motorhomes and we were going out, every morning when we got up to get ready to go, Vern had already been out and cleaned our windshield and Wayne and Mary Ellen's windshield. So one morning he didn't get it done, and Wayne came over and wanted to know if he was going to clean his windshield.
Well, I was glad to see somebody was over there feeding the deer tonight.
Yes.
Because somebody said that he did that all the time. And
oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. He walk out, the deer would come out of the woods. They're waiting for him to feed him.
Wow.
Yes.
That's really neat.
In fact, one deer followed him right into the...
Oh, yes.
She used to follow him right into the shed.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
And have a little buffet. And if he didn't come out when she thought she should, she'd come up and stand at our door and paw the ground. And he had to go out, and then she'd walk with him, and he had her all the way out. And he'd go into the shed to get the corn, and she'd come right in with him, have a little nibble out of the bucket, and then she expected to be fed personally by hand before the other deer got fed. And he'd take care, and she'd do that morning and evening.
Of course, he could be saying right now, well, Margaret, I'm not quite sure that that's quite how the story goes.
Yes.
And then we'd have to really hear the true story.
Yes. And of course, we tended to make the stories really interesting, and that drove him crazy because he wanted them factual.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yes, and both Mom and Aunt Maggie embellished quite significantly at times.
Accurate to the last dollar.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, you described it perfectly this morning, I thought, when you said about the broccoli and him telling stories.
Oh, yeah. When he told the story. If he was going to tell a story, for instance, about broccoli, It started with planting the seed.
Oh, no.
And it did not end until the broccoli had sprouted.
No, it started before that. He went through the details of preparing,
The ground.
We'd have to hear about him too.
The story could go from morning to night. If we just let him go from the very beginning of how he got it and everything like that, and all the way down to the very end of when it sprouted, the day could have gone by like that if
yes.
we let him tell a story.
Well, Tammy always said he took the southern route. He just wanted to make sure that everybody knew clearly what the whole story was.
And he got very upset if I corrected it.
Oh, yes.
But his favorite stories were him growing up and all the stuff the family did in Lubeck.
Mm-hmm.
Lubeck was the center of the world, and boy, did they have a colorful family.
Oh, yes.
He loved to tell stories about the family growing up.
He did.
Yes.
Life
in Lubeck.
Fly over from New York and they wiggle their wings going over Lubeck.
Leonard Ross.
They would turn the lights off.
Yeah.
That was one of the lights on the airport. This little grass strip there. In the middle of the night at 2:00 in the morning. And nobody could figure out
how the lights came on all the time.
That was his dad's and his secret for years and years and years and years.
Hmm.
That was one of his favorite stories.
Now just let me tell.
Right.
That and his Uncle Millie, the pirate
story. Yeah,
Uncle Millie was his favorite.
The pirate stories? Uncle Millie.
He had an uncle
that
was a pirate.
I knew that there was a pirate, but I didn't know there were stories behind it.
Oh, yes. Uncle Millie stories.
And if he was still here, I'm sure we'd hear about them right now for hours.
Now just let me tell you.
When Uncle Millie had walked down the road, you got to be able to picture Uncle Millie. Big, bushy black hair and beard.
Steely black eyes.
And when he walked down the road, I'm telling you, people would cross the road to stay away from him. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Wow.
Everybody in town was scared of him.
You know what? I think you can carry on the tradition.
You're getting there, Barry.
Just keep trying.
And when Uncle Millie had made tea, he made it as black as midnight, and I swear he'd keep it for days and days and days.
Yeah.
As thick as tar.
Speaking of tea, isn't there a lemonade story in there too? A lemonade and coffee ice cream?
Oh yes, there is.
Well, let's see. That was involved Grandma Rice. Before we were married, Grandma Rice, one time, she always made these drinks for Sabbath dinner. And they sort of had a love relationship,
if anyone wants to say that.
Well, Grandma would put any fruit juice out of any can that she had left over because she was a child of the Depression, she would pour it into her punch.
That's right.
And Vern,
she didn't
drink it.
He didn't like it at all. And so he would try and sneak off somewhere and pour it down the toilet or something. And he was pouring it in at one of Grandma's plants one day to water the plant, and she caught him. And that was not a good thing with Grandma. Oh, well, no. And caught him, and she was so mad. She was practically shaking, but she didn't know what to say. And finally she said, "I won't let you have any more coffee ice cream." Because that was the only thing she could think of to take away from him.
Now I see where I get always dumping stuff that I don't want. Dad, to tell you the truth, not all of your cooking is the best.
So, yeah, I still like your cooking.
You're lucky you get food.
That's right.
Vern loved to ask for this coffee ice cream. Of course, he'd love to tell the story about asking for the coffee ice cream. And shocking Mother, I mean, that was one of his
great... That was a great joy.
That was a great joy, that story that he loved to tell.
Mm-hmm. I think he forced up down the toilet, too.
Oh, well, he got caught once doing that, too.
And the in-laws.
Well, Grandpa was always somewhat in cahoots with others, just to sometimes, I think, irk Grandma.
Well, yes.
Well, Russ, why don't you tell us your sailfish story? I don't think we ever heard it this morning.
You haven't heard the sailfish story? Well, one summer shortly after we moved to New England, we took a little vacation on Lake Winnipesaukee.
Together.
We had rented a cabin or something up there, and they had the sailfish. So Bert and I took the sailfish out into the harbor there, the little inlet there.
The two great sea captains that they
had. Oh, yes, yes. They were
great sea. We'd never been in a sailfish before. But we got out there, and we had to sail up and everything going. All of a sudden, they come up this thunder shower,
right.
Lightning.
And this is after the weather.
We better take the sail down because it's going to blow away. And we said, we better get off of this boat. This sail, the mast is metal. We're going to attract all these lightning coming down. We finally paddled ourselves back into shore without getting struck by lightning.
Oh my goodness.
Just barely.
Well, that's one of many boating stories that I'm sure exists. Yeah.
The other boating story we had is when we thought we had this land up in the little Ossipee in Maine that we bought. We called Flashlight Valley because we saw it in the flashlight and we bought it on
Vernon and Russ bought it.
And it was like straight up.
It was like this going down to the water.
Vertical drop,
exactly.
Vertical drop. And so one day we heard there was a hurricane coming up to England.
Wow.
So we better get that boat that we got tied up to the makeshift dock there out of there and we'll get through it. So one night we went up there. It was pitch black. There's no lights at all. And there's no navigational lights on this boat lake. And you have a little jetty that comes out here and that you have to go around to get to the place where you take the boat out. And this jetty's all full of rocks and everything. So Vern was taking the boat, but there's a little bit of outboard motor. I don't know what we had on it, just a small outboard motor. In the middle of the night, back to where we could get it out of the water and put it on the trailer. I had to drive over to where he's coming. I thought he'd never get there. So I had to feel my way around the lake to get there.
Oh, man.
And unfortunately, the hurricane didn't come along. <off. laughs>
Yep. So how long did you guys own that property before you?
Flashlight Folly?
Until Margaret,
until Helen and I went and bought some other property.
Because you said, forget it, I'm not going to do this.
We're not doing that.
We're trying to figure out how we can fix that up so it would be useful.
We took, you're still figuring it out. And in the meantime, we spent 15 years on the other one.
I remember when I lived in Germany, I called up once, and Mother was fit to be tied. Daddy had decided he needed this beautiful little VW bug. And he went without permission and got this bug. I don't even know what color, I never saw it.
Oh. It's yellow. That's because we had a red
one. And Mother about went ballistic. I mean, I could feel the tension over the 8,000 miles away.
Well, and it wasn't a whole lot different when he went and bought the gold wing.
Oh, yes. I can remember that. That was a big deal.
I got the call at college. Your father went out, You will not believe what your father just did. He went out and bought a gold wing.
He is in his second job.
Yeah. Your father's. And then that was followed shortly by the 280Z.
Oh, yes.
That didn't go over real well either. But boy, was he proud of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
It was limited edition.
I don't think he kept the VW very long.
I never even saw the VW.
I never did either. How long did he have it before you?
No, I didn't make him get rid of it. He got tired, finally, of playing with it. But, we probably had it a couple of years. I don't know. We had the gold wing a couple of years.
His motorhome that we went to the ice cream store in Michigan.
He was so proud of
what,
that.
What
new
happened?
Motorhome
it was his very first motorhome.
The ice cream store. He got ice cream, but on the way back the thing croaked. It wouldn't go anymore.
No. Oh, but you forgot to fill it with all of the friends. It was a big celebration, so all of the special friends and a jillion kids, we were all...
At Farrell's in Jackson, Michigan.
And it was freezing cold because it was
very,
a Thanksgiving.
It was at Thanksgiving time.
That's right.
Was that the time we drove that little small VW bus with like the six of us in it
out to your
house in Michigan?
Probably. I don't know.
I don't think so.
But he was not happy when this brand new motorhome quit with everybody that he knew that he was showing it off to, but he had to keep pleasant because, of course, you can't have a temper tantrum with everybody.
You can't swear at the guy.
Well, and again, the dynamics I can hear at Maggie say, Margaret.
Well, and then one of the kids, Donnie Latour, who was one of the kids riding with us, from the back of the motor home hollered out, "This must be a lemon."
Oh, bummer.
On Taverne's brand new coach.
Oh, bummer.
That was that first experience in your motor home.
Yes.
Well, I think the only story we have left is the famous Hackensack story.
Well. Yeah.
It's all mom's fault.
No.
Who gets to tell the true version?
I get to now.
Do I get to play dad?
Yeah.
Well, we'll be here all night.
Then you can tell the story and I'll tell you the truth.
You make the corrections.
That's right.
What do you mean you'll tell the truth? We were driving with two little babies in the car from Washington, D.C. to New England Sand in Stoneham, Massachusetts. And to do that, you had to go through New York.
You're coming to visit us?
Yes. And we regularly got lost because if you weren't in the line of traffic in New York, you couldn't change lanes because no one in New York lets you change lanes.
Good job.
So somehow Vern got on the wrong lane and went on the wrong road.
Well, somehow was
you need to be saying
navigating.
Margaret.
No. And we ended up in Hackensack, New Jersey.
That is not the truth. That is not the truth at all.
The truth is
that you were reading the map and gave him the wrong direction.
Oh, no. He did it all by himself.
That got you to Hackensack, New Jersey.
And Hackensack was in the middle of, I don't know what type of traffic jam, but we sat there for hours.
After Grandma had said her story, I could just see Grandpa sitting there. Well, no, that's not entirely true.
Exactly!
He'd be sitting back. Well, that's not entirely true now.
That's very good.
That was pretty good.
Shows how well we all know Grandpa.
That's very good.
So apparently this is an undecided feud for how long? 35 years?
I'm sorry?
How long has it been undecided?
Oh, it's been decided.
More than that. Probably about...
It's been decided, but
Mother's well,
geez,
then
so
the story's a long time.
Yes, we've only been arguing about it for 40 years.
Wow.
So.
Sounds like fun.
Oh, it was fun. It became one of our family jokes.
What was the wonderful line that we had about how we cut something shorter?
Oh, in the middle of his stories, when he's been going on through this in minute detail, for he would stop and say, "To make a long story short," when it was way too late.
And his other famous line is, "Maggie, will you let me finish?" My
yes.
Story?
That is so true. Yes. That is so true. That's great.
Yes, that's true.
Seeing as may have read the same story a dozen times, but it didn't change.
No.
Oh,
it's
no.
The same.
Oh no,
yeah,
it's the same. Yeah.
Mixed up. Yep. No.
Which is actually quite incredible.
Well, of course, as much practice as he had.
Well, that's because he wasn't embellishing like our mothers do.
No.
He actually was telling
the facts
of the story, so he couldn't lose the facts. Now, if you were with them, you'd hear a different story every time.
Yeah. It grew, and it gets better and better each time. With more facts, that's right.
The truth gets further and further diluted.
Exactly. They can't even remember what they said.
That's true, actually.
It's just like a couple of criminals that just can't get the story straight.
Yep. Dad told the same stories detail for the years and years and years.
Every detail is true.
Oh, yeah.
You knew what was coming. You knew the detail and very
you
weren't
there when he told us about all the things that you guys were doing. You would tell us detail, whatever airplane you were flying.
Oh, yes. Yeah. He would go into great detail about both of your jobs and everything.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
He was very
proud
of that.
Everything that you were growing in your garden, we know about it.
From what I understand, the Wright brothers had nothing on us.
It's true.
That is true.
He's telling us what airplanes left to fly. What airlines left to fly.
Yep.
Or if someone were to interrupt him in the middle of it, he'd just kind of stop and say, "Will you let me finish?"
Yes!
He just kind of look at you with big eyes. Will you let me finish?
Or if another story got interwoven in somehow,
he could come right back to it.
Oh yeah, right where he left off.
He would, as if it never happened.
It did.
Pick up the
he'd
next
come right back to it.
Right on.
And you sort of almost hoped that he'd lose it, but he never did. He just come right back to it.
It's like he's taking notes in his head where he just left.
Isn't
left
that
off.
All true? It's amazing.
Before Grandma interrupted, and he'd be like, "Well, Margaret, will you let me finish?
Yeah.
I haven't gotten there yet."
It's true.
I haven't got to the point yet.
It's right. Well, you know, it was so cute when he, you know, I was telling you guys about his volunteer thing, and he was so proud of it. And he called me into the camper, and he told me all about it, and he wanted to really share it. And, you know, it was a really neat moment between the two of us. And then he went back into the house, and he pulled Tammy, and I thought, well, Tammy is going to hear the exact same thing that I just heard. I don't have to ask her what he's going to say, because he's going to say the exact same thing. It's just, he just told the same story each time.
He would never change any story, not even just a little bit. It'd all be the same every time.
Well, it's consistency would be the word.
Yeah.
Well, yes.
They were consistent. We could never tell the same story twice.
Don't admit it,
Helen.
Oh, yeah. Well,
That's our memory of Vern. So anybody else that has a memory that wants to talk about it, this is your moment.
He can probably cut some of this out too.
Oh yeah, so we're done. That's what they'd like to finish with, so that people at the ceremony can stand up and say what they want.
Yeah.